Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and a New Year's Day on this January the 2nd or 1st, 2016. We just thank the Lord for another year. As I like to say, we hit the reset button on the previous year to now start over, to now begin to, like in school, you know, to see whether if we going to utilize or what we have learned from the previous week's studying and assignments and things of that sort. So now it's time to see whether if we as a person and the people have learned anything from the previous year experience, both good and bad and sideways, to really put it to work, to put it in to put it in effect now. It doesn't mean that we're not going to come short. It doesn't mean we're not going to mess up or screw up. But now the thing becomes is, can we recognize certain things before we're faced with it? Can we pick up on the enemy, you know, seeing how he's working through people and things and situations? When we are faced with a financial situation, are we going to put ourselves in a place of prayer and cast it upon the Lord and just let the chips fall where they may? Are we going to stress and do all those various things that we used to do? Because let me open up a prayer first before we go forward, because I want to go into this, and I just want to read a scripture too, then just go on and, like I say, you know, just share some things that I just feel that is pressing on heart, as far as just on the heart of the Lord. This is the butt. We're going to go in prayer first. Lord God, we come before you just saying thank you, Lord God, for this new year, for this new opportunity, Lord God, to do something new, something different, Lord God, but also to become better followers of Jesus Christ, Lord God, to become better disciples, Lord God, to become better representatives, ambassadors for you, Lord God, and also to another chance to sanctify ourselves, that our vessels might be ready and meet for the master to use, so that we might go and do the work that you have us to do this year with no excuses, with no reservations, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, our Father. I pray, let this be the year of obedience, oh God, the Lord God, that we're not looking to just become part of a member of another church, another club, Lord God, but Father, that we would look to really do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, and to really be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that this will be a year, Lord God, of total obedience to the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that, Lord God, that we would not walk in fear or shame, Lord God, because of the laws that's being made, Lord God, to basically to take our voice away from us, to not be able to speak truth, because you have people that are so sensitive to truth, Lord God. So, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that as we just look into your word and look to just hear your mind and heart, oh God, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you will have the preeminence, that you, Lord God, will take over. And Father, and I pray to help us to understand, oh God, that those of us that will not let go and cast off our hope, oh God, that we will hold on to our hope, that we will be imprisoned and enslaved and captivated by the hope that you put in our hearts and our minds and our dreams and our destiny, that, Lord God, that we will not let it go, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, but that we will hold on to it, just like in the book of Hebrews, oh God, that those all in hope, Lord God, held on to the promise, oh God, even though they did not, even though all their promises were not fulfilled yet, because of the hope, oh God, and because of what their spirit eyes have seen, oh God. Lord God, the scripture said they all died in hope, oh God. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that we will be able to have the same testimony, that in spite of being one of the prior most wicked generations, perverted generations ever, that we did not cast off our hope, that we did not cast off our first love, And Lord God, we did not fall away, Lord God, because we did not kill the Adamic nature in our lives. So Father, I thank you and give you the name, the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, in close yesterday, just wanted to try to close out on a note where the scripture in Zechariah chapter 9 started in verse 8, and it says, "And I would encamp about my house because of the army, because of the army, because of him that passeth by, because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through thee anymore. For now have I seen with my eyes." And that's something wonderful, because God says, "And I would encamp." Well, it means he would encircle, he would cover, that he would protect his camp. And his camp, and using militaristic terms, are his people, his soldiers. Because we are supposed to have a militaristic mindset to always be ready to engage the enemy, whether through intercession, through the sharing of the word, through praise and worship, to be able to set someone free and to come against his plans and his plots. And so God says, "I will encamp about my people and encamp about my arm because of him that passeth by, because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through thee anymore." So the Lord has made a promise to those who hold on. He said he's going to encamp because of the enemy that's going to come back around, the one that was there, but you know he's going to double back. He's going to circle around, and who is this person for what person? So because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through thee. So the thing that oppresses, the thing they try to hold us down, the thing they try to keep us in bondage, the thing that kept us from really stepping out in the things of God, or stepping out by faith. He said, "I'm going to camp around you so this oppressor won't come back." People, that's a wonderful thing, but the key to all this is obedience, that we have to be in the right place, that we have to be where the Lord tells us to be at, we have to be doing what he tells us to do, and that we just have to be in the right spirit, the right mindset, and stand it to him, that when we do this, God said he would camp around those things that's trying to come back. You know, people that might be trying to come back into our life to bring oppression, old people from relationships, old habits trying to creep back, whether smoking, drinking, sex, pornography, drugs, stealing, whatever your particular hang-up might have been, and you've been working and praying and crying, you know, to be set free, to be delivered from this thing. I believe we're coming into a time, and I'm not talking about the year as the year 2016, but I believe we're coming into a season now where God is going to begin to encamp around his people because he sees, because look at what it says to end out that verse, because he said that because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them anymore. But now have I seen with my eyes. And when God says seen, which means that he's basically saying, I see what the enemy is trying to do. I see, therefore, I'm going to provide a means to offset that which I have seen. So God is saying that he's going to encamp around his people because he sees the oppressor is going to double back. That thing is going to come back in. And we see a New Testament version of the scripture where in the book of Matthew, and where it talks about, where he says that when the spirit goes out of a man, and if it walketh in dry places, and it says, and the spirit says, I will return to my house from which I came, and it returns back and it finds it empty, swept, and garnished. But it said this time it's going to bring back seven other spirits that is more wicked than itself. Why? To bring the person back into bondage, to bring that person back into oppression, and so that this time that the person would not be able to get free this time, so that they might stand it. But the mercy of God, you know, and the grace of God, because he sees this, he begins to tell us, you know, to pray more, to fast more, to read the word more, to cut down on the things that we're watching on TV, and even, you know, cut that down So, people, I believe that this is a time to see for those who've been fighting and to release, to break the hold of certain bondages, the spirit of lust and other things. Listen, I encourage you to keep holding on, because he goes on and says, after he says this, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of the covenant, I have set forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Look at that. He says, for as for thee also by the blood of the covenant. Lord have mercy. And what did Jesus do for us? He cut a covenant with us with the shedding of his blood. People, his blood just didn't save us, but it also cut a covenant with us. It also made a covenant that when we come and accept him, that we are accepted in the beloved, that we are now joint heirs in Christ. So with that, because he made blood of the covenant, and we have embraced it, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit where therein there is no war. See, that is about freedom. God has shown and said, look, I'm going to cut a covenant with you. Well, I'm going to stand on your side. I'm going to camp around you. I'm going to protect you, because this thing is trying to come back. And I sent your prisoners. Some of us were bound up there, but now we're coming to a place of freedom, and there's still some people who God is going to set free, as long as they do what they're supposed to do, but also that we also stand in a place of intercession and stand in a place of praying for them and praying and standing with the Lord and praying and standing with the Holy Spirit to intercede for those who are in bondage. Those who are in bondage to religion and blinded in bondage to a ministry. This means those that's in bondage to a particular doctrine or things of that. We also be able to expand our thinking that there's many things that the enemy is binding people up with. And we have to, and it's not being judgmental, but we have to understand that a lot of these ministries, a lot of these doctrines that is out there are not from God. So along with this encouraging, there's also a warning that we need to take heed to the things that we listen to. We need to take heed to the groups or the ministries or the work or the ministry that we connect ourselves to, because it can break you into bondage. Their doctrine, their ideas, their protocols break you into bondage. But to you, it might not seem like bondage, because it seems like it's fun and it's flowing and there's stuff going on. There's always something billowing and people are crying and running. Okay, but the thing becomes is people getting free? Is people really getting set free by the word of God? I'm not talking about getting free by the hooping and hollering, by singing and through music and entertainment. Is people really getting free? Is demons being cast out? Is demonic strongholds being broken? Are soul ties being broken? This is talking about a place where there's no water, where there's no spirit, where there's no word, that he's going to sit, that he's going to let these prisoners free. He's going to send them out of these places. People, because we're coming to a time where you have to understand, as we cross this year, yes, that those of us that's fighting, that God that calls us to prisoners of hope, those of us that he's going to begin to render double to, it's going to be a war. It's not going to come easy, because the enemy is going to want to get us into a certain mindset where we're not focused, where we lose hope, or we're looking at something that's in order to even get us connected to something that seems like it's God. It seems like it's of the word of God and it's of the kingdom, when it's not. So the thing is, he encamps around us. He sets them free. He protects us from the oppressor that's going to try to come back, that's going to try to double back and bind us up. And he let us know that he sets us free because of the blood of the covenant that he cut. And that he sent, and he's going to start sending people out of prison, that where there's no war, where there's no spirit. Then he tells us, turn me to the stronghold, to turn us to his presence. Because his presence is a stronghold in a day of trouble. Ye prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Prisoners of hope. But we all know what this scripture says in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So hope keeps us going. Keeps us striving, keep us believing that what my mind's eye is seeing, what I'm seeing in my dreams, what I'm seeing in my spirit, what I'm seeing in my mind, what I feel in my heart that God has told me that I'm supposed to be at, what I'm supposed to be doing, the people I'm supposed to be reaching, the things that I should be obtaining, that is real, that I just need to hold on to my hope, that I need not to cast off my hope, that I need to cast off my first faith, that I need to cast off my first love, that I need not to cast it away. This man, I just need to remain a prisoner of hope. This man, and not a prisoner of a place where there's no water, where there's no hope, where there's no spirit, where there's no move of God, where there's no move of his word, where there's no quenching of the thirst of his word, because he says, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And when you haven't had a drink of water in a long time, you start thirsting for a drink of water. You enough. Yeah, you know, somebody might give you a sandwich, but the sandwich is just going to only intensify your need for water. So when there's no water, there's nothing else that can be given that will satisfy you until that thirst is quenched for that water. And so, I mean, you have many people that try to replace those who are truly born again. You know what I'm talking about. Isn't it? When you could go to a place that seems like that things are flowing, but your thirst still wasn't quenched. A lot of times we cannot put off when we have a thirsting for the things of God, for the word of God, just to hear from God. And we go to the next, you know, revival that's being happening, or the next, you know, annual celebrations where a bunch of preachers is going to be at, or, you know, or some next service where they're saying this is the hottest ministry in town right now. And you go there because the one thing that's going to always be the telltale sign, no matter what, is my thirst being quenched. Is my thirst and my hunger to understand God more, to understand his word more, to come close to God, to really know that God is really directing my steps, and that this hope that I have, that it's not something futile, I'm not just wasting my time with, that God is really, really leading, that there's really a reward, there's really something that for me to get a hold of, that if I just keep holding on. That's what the real word, what the real gospel, what the real presence of God will do for you. It will begin to quench that thirst that will tell you to hold on, to keep pressing, to keep going, to keep fighting, and don't let this oppressor come back in and bind you up again, to keep fighting. And so, people of God, know this. We're coming into a time where, yes, the Lord's telling us to hold on, but we also come into a time where the Lord is also telling us to be vigilant, to open our mouths. Because one of the biggest indictments against us is the fact that we have not, as the people of God, opened our mouth up. We have allowed things to creep into ministries or even places that say that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have allowed preachers that are sleeping around, that's taking people's money, that's telling lies on the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesying falsehood about giving and sowing into these men, into to these ministries, and yet we have not said anything. Yet we have not spoken out against it. Yet we have not revealed and exposed it. And when we see the enemy working, when we see ministers of Satan hoping in people, yeah, it might be a good thing that you removed yourself from it. But the fact is, you did not warn other people. You did not warn others and say, look, this is not me trying to tear down somebody. It's not about me trying to, you know, disrespect you or what. This person, what they've been teaching is not right. What they've been saying to do this, do that is not right. Or we know that this person is sneaking around with the women in the church, or with some of his deacon's wives, or with some of the young girls that's in the church on the choir. You know, we know at first it was like just little rumors, but now it's popping up too much, and now the girl over there, you know, she's starting to swell up a little bit. And look, we've been quiet too long, people of God. We've been quiet too long against, you know, the fact that how ministries have been allowing homosexuals to take over the pulpit, you know, whether through the preaching of the gospel or the bringing forth of the praise and worship. Let me tell you this. No worship can be offered up and accepted of God that's being lifted up through an unclean vessel that willingly stays unclean. Now, I say this, and I thank God for how he came, because we could sit and say, well, you know, we all struggle, we all sin, for sure the glory of God, we all got issues that we deal with. Yeah, that might be true. But at the same time, when you might struggle with something, there is people who throw themselves on their face before God every chance they get, or when they spend time with the Lord, begging him to Lord, you know, I don't like being this way, Lord. I don't like struggling with this, Lord. I don't like, you know, this issue, Lord. I don't like, you know, the way that I am, Lord. Deal with this part of me, God. Kill this part of me, Lord. I ask you to kill this old nature, because I want to walk in the fullness of Christ. I want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I want to be able to use of you, Lord. I want to walk in the anointed and the power of the Holy Ghost. But I know, Lord, that if I can only receive little power, because the only part of me is sanctified. A person like that, God can work with. And we see it throughout the scriptures, even when in the book of Luke, chapter 18 or 19, Jesus tells the story of two men who came up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. And the Pharisee began to say, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, and I'm not a sinner like other men or like this man here. I fast twice in a week. I get tithes of all that I possess, and I do this and that, blah, 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 blah. And then it says that this man leave it thinking he was justified. And then it says that, but this Pharisee, it went on to the sinner. It said that he could barely lift his head up, and he beat upon his chest. He said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. In the Bible, and Jesus says that this man went home justified rather than the other. Why? Because he acknowledged that, Lord, I'm not in the place that I need to be in, should be in. Lord, I should not have said that, done that. But yet, Lord, I'm asking you, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, Lord. I sinned. Lord, forgive. The other man couldn't admit that he was a sinner in order for him to be born again. But the other one admitted he was a sinner, and he was forgiven. And so in the scripture, says that he went home justified. So now, with that being said, you have people that stays the way that they are, going in and nothing is said, because one, we don't want to seem to offend people, but we also have to understand how the enemy has worked. And I'm going to go through this quickly. Before he really ushered in the coming out of the closet wholesale with this homosexual spirit, he allowed individual families and communities to have dealt with this. You know, where it rocked some homes, where certain families seem to be, you know, in the eyes of the people, the perfect family. They're loving, you know, the father's home, you know, they work, you know, they different members and of their church and community and things of that sort. Then it comes out that their son is gay or that he's a homosexual. But because the people were religious but did not have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they probably dealt with it the wrong way, you know, because they're looking at how they're going to be perceived now. And, well, how can you be doing this and being one of the ministers, the father being one of the ministers here, but your son is a homosexual, this and that. And so now what happens is you got these people that are insensitive. They will make fun of them, you know. You got to go to school, you know. Of course, when his fellow schoolmates find out, you know, they're going to be harsh and make fun and be insensitive. And trust me, no real believer in the world, first of all, condone that kind of behavior. It's one thing to not accept or embrace a lifestyle, but it's another thing to make somebody feel bad about. So what do the enemy do? He drives these young people, this generation young people, to go and commit suicide. So what does this do? It puts a darkness, a dimness, and also even it begins to undermine the strength of the family now to look at how they look at the Bible, how they look at certain things. And usually it'll start with the mother, you know, because now, you know, they're hurt, they lost my baby, what did he do? You know, got changed, you know, we got to be more sensitive. So he does this for years. He does this for years. So now what does this do? Causes for certain activist groups and things to call for greater changes of how those that live alternate lifestyles are treated, how they are bullied, and how, which I feel like, yes, you know, they're human beings. They ought not to be bullied. They ought not to be made felt bad. But now, what does this do? Okay, we get through the first arena of that, but now let's get down to the road thing we wanted to get to. We got to shut people up who speak this Bible, because the Bible speaks and call homosexuals an abomination. So now, over time, what does this do? They start weeding their way into certain positions into lawmaking, into government, into city council, into different governmental offices where they have influence, or they begin to get into jobs where they make a lot of money, so they can begin to give to certain politicians and political parties and things of that sort that will push their agenda. So now we come to the point now where it is a hate crime to speak truth, not to make a person feel bad about it, but to speak truth. It becomes a hate crime. And so now we get to this point where now you can't say anything. So now the enemy does it, because now what does he do? He wants to undermine the sanctification, the sanctity, and the environment of the place that could be the one place that could stop him. The church, where the believers can gather together in prayer and praise and begin to listen and begin to go power of the Holy Ghost to go and set people free. But how can we do that when we have the very thing, the very homosexual that's sitting in church singing praise and worship songs, but because the song might sound nice or because it might seem like they have a gift, doesn't necessarily mean that it's God. People, this is what's coming down the pike. We already got the doctrines of super grace as taught by Joseph Prince. We already got the reemerging of Calvinism, the one saved, all we see. We got the doctrine of inclusion, which is nothing but the universalism gospel of Eastern mysticism that's just repackaged to come into the more so Protestant or Pentecostal style church, whatever you want to call it. This is what's coming down the pike this year. They're going to press it harder. Where now the Christian has become the new kind of enemy, and that the laws is going to be tightened up to where so we cannot speak the gospel, we cannot speak truth at all. We are coming closer to the time now where they're going to start marginalizing us to separate us out, because now the system is starting to switch over to a B system, and we are going to be the odd man out. So with that being said, listen now for the next show so we can go ahead and conclude this. because we are facing with something that's totally, utterly demonic. And once again, Happy New Year's and have a good day.